such as the up quark and the down quark, and that we wished to solve these equations to find the masses of the two particles. One might suppose that the symmetry between the two quark types would dictate that the two masses should turn out to be equal, but this is not the only possibility. The symmetry of the equations does not rule out the possibility that the solution might turn out to give the up quark a mass greater than the down quark mass. It requires only that, in that case, there will be a second solution of the equations in which the down quark mass is greater than the up quark mass, and by exactly the same amount. That is, the symmetry of the equations is not necessarily reflected in each individual solution of these equations, but only in the pattern of all the solutions of these equations. In this simple example, the actual properties of the quark would correspond to one or the other of the two solutions, representing a breakdown in the symmetry of the underlying theory. Notice that it does not really matter which of the two solutions is realized in nature. If the only difference between the up and down quarks were in their masses, then the difference between the two solutions would simply be a matter of which quarks we choose to call up and down. Nature, as we know it, represents one solution of all the equations of the Standard Model, and it makes no difference which solution, as long as these different solutions are all related by exact symmetry principles. In such cases, we say that the symmetry is broken, although a better word would be hidden, because the symmetry is still there in the equations, and these equations govern the properties of the particles. We call this phenomenon a spontaneous symmetry breaking. Because nothing breaks the symmetry in the equations of the theory, the symmetry breaking appears spontaneously in the various solutions of these equations. It is principles of symmetry that give our theories much of their beauty. That is why it was so exciting when elementary particle physicists started to think about spontaneous symmetry breaking in the early 1960s. It suddenly came home to us that there is much more symmetry in the laws of nature than one would guess merely by looking at the properties of elementary particles. Broken symmetry is a very Platonic notion. The reality we observe in our laboratories is only an imperfect reflection of a deeper and more beautiful reality, the reality of the equations that display all the symmetries of the theory. An ordinary permanent magnet provides a good realistic example of a broken symmetry. This example is particularly appropriate because spontaneous symmetry breaking made its first appearance in quantum physics in Heisenberg's 1928 theory of permanent magnetism. The equations that govern the iron atoms and magnetic field in a magnet are perfectly symmetrical with regard to directions in space. Nothing in these equations distinguishes north from south, or east, or up,